by God's grace, I'm going to attempt to tell you something of Christ and Him crucified. Paul once said, "Who is sufficient for these things?" And when you deal with this is the heart, the soul, sum, and the substance of the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. You never feel more inadequate to who is sufficient. What did you feel when we were reading those verses? If you were really reading and entering into it, you felt a mixture of horror and sadness, anger, disbelief, confusion. Why? Yeah. Amazement. Like the song, "Stand Amazed." Even Pilate, I believe, was amazed by this man that he himself was torturing. We ought to read this, and it's a mistake. I've done it. It's a mistake to present a too graphic description and declaration of Christ being crucified. Not shun it, tell it like it is, but this is not an order for men and women to feel sorry for Him. In fact, in Luke's gospel, I believe, He was carrying His cross up the mountain. A great company of women were wailing because scriptures said they would. Wailing, He turned to them very calmly and sternly and said, "Don't weep for me. Weep not for me, but..." He said, "Don't feel sorry for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." He went on to say, if they've done this in a green tree, that was 2,000 years ago, what are they going to do in a dry, we're in the dry tree? Think things are better? Ooh. But this is not in order to feel sorry for our Lord. In fact, there have been many over the years suffer physically as our Lord did for His cause. Many. That's not His chief suffering. And none of His people will suffer like He did. The wrath of God, the judgment of God, separation from God, hell. Our Lord went through hell. It was His soul suffering that we can't enter into, that He was going through. But what we need to read this often. We need to read the actual account of our Lord crucified often. Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." See, this is what he was just smitten with and taken up with. We need to read this often. Think upon this often. If we did, sin would appear to be what it is. It was because of sin that Christ hung on a cross. I say. Our Lord suffered for every single sin we committed in the past, present, and the sins we're going to commit. This is the only thing that will, by mercy and truth, men depart from iniquity. This is the only thing. The mercy and truth of God in Christ. Sin will appear to be what it is, exceedingly sinful. And self, you'll only hate yourself and loathe yourself as you see Christ on the cross, who died selflessly, completely selflessly, because of that. And we start feeling sorry for ourselves. Think on Christ crucified. He denied himself all his life. He laid down his life. He gave himself for us. We start feeling sorry for ourselves. This is the only thing that will make you ashamed of that. It's start feeling lonely, and it's a real thing, but we've never known loneliness. Now, everybody, including God, listen. Think on Him. The world, in light of Christ crucified, the world will, you'll see the world for what it really is. Worthless. Vanity. Oh, we just sang that my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, deserves my life, my heart, my all. Our troubles, in light of Christ crucified, our troubles were lessened. Christ didn't receive anything that he deserved. He didn't deserve this, any of this, but he took it. Scripture says, for the joy set before. That's amazing. Isn't it? Our troubles will lessen. Now, most rarely, if ever, think of Christ crucified. We want to look at these verses in a moment. But most rarely, if ever, think about Christ crucified. Lamentations 3 says, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? No, it's not. This is what God holds this world accountable for. Nothing. Care less. Those who do merely feel sorry for Jesus like a martyr, like he was dying for some, defending some cause against Roman tyranny or injustice against man. Don't know the real reason he died, might die. I want us to see why Christ was crucified. And by the way, I received an email from a man. I advertise these messages. I send the bulletin to you, and you read it. Today's message will be Christ crucified. Christ crucified. I received an email from a man who said he was going to hear this celebrated Reverend Dr. So-and-so give a talk today, the Lord's Day, on Martin Luther. Now, I announced I'm going to preach Christ and Him crucified. And this man would rather hear about Martin Luther. And it's so all over the world. You can announce that you're preaching on divorce. You can announce you're preaching on abortion. You can announce that you're preaching on the injustice of society. You can give a title to your message on sermon audio, The Last Days, and you'll get thousands of hits. But if you put up there Christ crucified, you get a minimum. I'm telling you the truth. Paul said, I don't glory in anything. I don't like to talk about anything. I'm taken up with one thing. Because that man has seen Christ crucified in his stead. That's why. That's Simon Peter. We say we can't help but speak the things we've seen and heard. What things, Peter? It wasn't things at all. It was Christ on the cross hanging there for me, Simon Peter said. Adam and Eve, let me tell you what this is. Somebody who's really seen Christ crucified. Adam and Eve were standing before God thinking that God was going to kill them. They're naked. They're shivering. They're afraid. They're guilty. They're ashamed. They've sinned against goodness. They've sinned against His sovereignty. They've sinned against His mercy. They've sinned against His providence. They've sinned against God, and they know it, and they're shivering, and they're afraid. They think God's going to kill them. And they're ashamed, and they're scared. They're frightened. And they watched in horror as God, Christ, took a lamb, an innocent lamb. They'd never seen death. They'd never seen blood. They didn't know what blood was. And they watched in horror as the Lord Jesus Christ Himself took an innocent lamb a beautiful, spotless lamb with eyes as doves, innocent, pure, beautiful, harmless lamb. And he took a knife and cut its throat. And they watched in horror as that lamb shook and trembled. And those eyes that were pure glossed over. Nothing in those eyes. And it lay there on the ground, and all of that red, life-giving substance flow out on the ground. And they watched in further horror as he took that knife and slit that lamb's belly and skinned that skin off of them. And he wrapped that skin over and wrapped it around their shivering bodies. And then began to tell them, somebody's coming. I'm coming. And that's what they're going to do to me. That's what your sins deserve. You deserve to die, but I'm not going to kill you. A substitute will die in your place. Mercy, you don't deserve this, but I'm a good God. I'm a merciful God. I'm a gracious God. I love you, and I'm not willing for you to perish. And I'm going to cover you with my own body and die for you with my own precious blood. And redeem you. Now go on out. What do you think they were talking about from that dead woman? What do you think they were talking about? They've seen a substitute. They've seen someone dying in their place. And so it is with those who've really seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was crucified? Who was crucified? The God-man. The Son of God. God manifest in the flesh. Why? Why? You've got to know this. You don't know God. You don't know yourself. You don't know Christ. You don't know the truth. You don't know the gospel unless you know why he was crucified. This was God manifest in the flesh. This was the Son of the Most High God. This was the Holy One of Israel. This is God himself, whom he purchased the church with his own precious blood. God manifest in the flesh. Why, though, was he crucified in such a manner? I read this over and over again, and I asked myself, why did God allow them to torture him? You ever thought about that? Why couldn't he have just died instantly? Why couldn't they just decapitate him? Why couldn't they just... To show the exceeding sinfulness of sin. To show man as he really is. Do you understand? To show man as he really is. You look at this in horror, looking back on it, and you think, I wouldn't have done that. How did they do it? How could they do this? Look, that's what man is. He really is. And that's who he died for. To show what man, and Paul in the book of Romans goes on to lay that man hates God. He says, hates God. You read with me how the holiness. See, this was the most merciful, loving, gracious, kind, compassionate, tender, long-suffering, gentle, meek soul ever to walk this earth. Went about doing good. What did they do? Said away with him. Didn't they? And you can't be indifferent. You can't be indifferent. Some try to be. I don't. No, that's to care less if he lived or died. All the people did that. All the people did that. Jew, Gentile, religious, irreligious, rulers. You didn't read the account. If you go ahead back and read all the accounts, I did. And it says that the priests and the servants got together and were taking turns. It's like the servants. The lowly ones. It says Herod got his whole band together. And they just had at him. How can they do this? say this is a cruel, wicked Roman society. Are you kidding? That's now. To show the exceeding sinfulness of man, to show God's true nature. Peter, when he stood up to preach at Pentecost, he said, "You with wicked hands have taken and crucified the Lord of glory, but you did what God determined before it be done." He said, by the determinate counsel of God, God, in Isaiah 53, it says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It says God made his soul an offering to sin. All God had to do was let man alone. And they tore his soul apart. To show God's true nature. God did this because God hates sin. He really does. You don't know anything about God unless you see Christ as the sin offering. As Christ, what God really thinks about sin. And how he will punish it. He will. To show forth his glory. I've said this so many times. Because it's as good an illustration as I know. But there's no way I would give any of my beloved children for any of you. I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it. I love you. I don't love you that much. Are you worth it? Anybody, you think you're worth it? And we're talking about the Son of God. And ain't nobody worth that. Ain't nobody worth it. But God. But God. For his great love, wherewith he loved us. Who's us? We were dead in sin. Some of the very ones that spit in his face. To ignore him is to spit in his face. Isn't it the we say things like this, that people that ignore us, people that abuse us, people that don't acknowledge us, people that say bad things about us, slap in my face. Don't we? Slap in my face. That's the worst thing you can do. Everybody did that. Helen Hope, everybody did that. You walk by and slap. And my ignoring him all those years, my having nothing to do, my not coming to worship him, my not coming to where the people of God, where a man standing up and declaring his glory, my not coming and bowing before this king and giving thanks for doing that is a slap in his face. Yes, it is. I did. But but God, rich in mercy, for his great love, worthy he loved us. You know, religion throws out the love of God. They've done despite under the grace of God and the love of God. They've counted it an unworthy thing. Trodden underfoot the love and of God, the blood of Christ. Thrown it out there as an offer to people that don't want it, to care less for it. But no, his precious blood was shed for those that are going to prize it above the whole thing. His life was given for those that know their life should have been taken. His life was given for those who know themselves to be what they are. And they're going to love him for right now, starting right now, more than anything, more than anyone else. And talk about him and worship him. And if somebody's going to meet, they're going to be there to worship the one who died for them. Go to church. Going to church. You're going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to worship God who sent it. We're going to worship the Christ who hung on the cross for us. And flesh, away with that. If we say crucify anything, let's say crucify the flesh. Crucify man, his pride. Crucify man, his work. Away with that. Let's hear about him who was crucified for me. Let us be crucified to the world and the world to us. Huh? There is no other subject worth preaching. There is no other person worth glorying in. You admire anybody. Is there anybody you admire? Anybody you esteem highly? Paul said, nobody's worth it. He said, Paul didn't die for you. He said, Apollos didn't die for you. Christ died. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Well, to show his glory. God in love, God in mercy, God in grace, and Christ willingly, obediently, for the joy set before Him. I really do believe I would lay down my life for some of you. Me, I'd lay down my life. I really do. I think that. I most certainly would for my children. I know I would. You wouldn't stop. You wouldn't hesitate a moment. No, you wouldn't have to give it a thought. For the joy. Do to me what you will to prevent them from going through it. But we weren't his sons, that is. And by nature, we hated him, Robin. We hated him. We loved ourselves. We loved the world. We loved but God. Show his glory. This is his glory. To fulfill Scripture. To fulfill Scripture. God who said, I kill, I make alive. God who says, I wound and I heal. God says, I form the light, create darkness. I make peace. I create evil. Christ was sent by God to do all these things. Calvary, that same, kill, make alive, wound, heal, form the light, darkness, peace, evil. In the midst of evil, God made peace. Amazing. Wisdom beyond words. Look at these verses. Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Pilate is mentioned 56 times in the Scripture. You know that? 56 times. You notice how many times he's spoken of in this chapter? Why? Because Scripture says, God hath made all things for himself, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Proverbs 16:4. Even the wicked for the day of evil. What day of evil is that? This is the most evil day ever, and yet the most glorious. Mankind at his absolute worst. Mankind as he is. And God at his best. God as he is. Marvelous. I wish I could preach this. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. Pilate kept thinking he was doing as he will, but he's doing God's will. King's heart is in the hands of the Lord, like the rivers of water, turneth it whithersoever he will. And in this case, and in every case, it's for the purpose of God's kingdom. It has something to do with God's kingdom in Christ and his people. Mark it down. No matter who reigns or rules or whatever they do, it's something to do with God's people that are in Christ. Proverbs 16 says, a lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing there is of the Lord. Pilate said, scourge him. And they beat him. Herod had already done it. Scourge him, slap him. They ripped out his beard. They scourged his back. Why? Because Scripture said so. Because God wrote it long before. This is what's going to happen. Why is he doing that? Because cursed is everyone that continueth not on all things written in the book of the law of the new. Because he that hangeth on a tree is cursed. Because Christ was being made sin for us. Because he's being made a substitute for us in the garden. And he gave his back to the smiters because that's what our sins deserve. With his stripes we're healed. We esteem him smitten and stricken of God. He was. But not for his own sin, but ours. You see, God said this. Either you whip, or he gets whipped. Took my whipping. They scourged him. 40 stripes, save one. But that was the law of Moses. Pilate's not doing this according to the law of Moses. Yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. All do. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Verse 2, the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put on him a purple robe. Why did they do that? Cruelly, evilly, they went out and got a rose bush. Maybe a rose of Sharon, perhaps?
They got a rose bush, and they took that thorny rose, and they with leather gloves on so as not to be pricked themselves, and made this crown of thorns, and not gently, but cruelly shoved it down on his head, painfully, or horribly. It was already in pain. Why did they do that? Put a crown on him. They began to mock him as the king. Hail, the king of the Jews. Why did they put this crown of thorns on him? Because this is the second Adam. Because God said to Adam in the garden, he said, thorns and thistles. Because of your sin, thorns and thistles shall come. You'll be pricked by them. You'll be hurt by them. You'll bleed because of them. This is our second Adam, John. He wore a crown of suffering. Tempted in all points like as we are. Wounded, bruised, pricked, pain, suffering. This crown of thorns represents that. His suffering, the second Adam, who took the thorns of life for us. Also, the mercy seat. What did the mercy seat have around it? Huh? All of them did. The laver of incense, the laver of water, all had this golden crown around it. That's him. This crown appears to the naked eyes being a crown of shame, but God says it's a crown of glory. Suffering for something he didn't do. Suffering for people that don't deserve to live. That he died. Isn't this wonderful? That's his name. Crown. They smote him with their hands. They mocked him and smote him with their hands. Why? Because Scripture says, smite the shepherd. God said, smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Pilate, verse 4, went forth again and said unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Find no fault. I didn't give you this, but the purple robe, verse 2. See the purple robe? Why did they do this? A purple robe. Because the veil in the temple was made of blue, purple, and scarlet. Blue is divinity. Purple is royalty. Scarlet is blood, redemption. The veil in the temple that blocked the way into the holy, the holiest, was rent when Christ died on that cross. Christ, who wore the robe of the skies, the heavens itself, he was robed with the heavens in blue. They put on him a robe of royalty, purple. And then it was later covered with blood. Because this is the veil. Christ is the veil. He's the one whose body was rent, thus opening the way into the holiest of all with his own precious blood. You see that? Crown him with many crowns. Blue, purple, red. The veil, also the ephod of the high priest was just that. Blue, purple, and red. And Pilate said in verse 5, behold the man. In verse 4, behold, I bring him forth to you. Verse 14, behold your king. Behold, behold, behold. Pilate brought him forth before all to see. He said, behold, I bring him forth. No, it was God that set him forth. God said before the world began, behold, I bring him forth. Pilate said, behold the man. No, it was God that said that. Behold a man. A child shall be born, but a man, a son shall be given. Call his name. Wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, coming to make peace by the blood of his cross. Made him a woman, born, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. The God-man. Great is the mystery of godness. God was manifest. God said that before Pilate did. And he told Pilate, say it again. And Pilate said, behold your king! In mockery and derision. And everybody said, he's not our king. Every tongue said, he's not our king. But no, God said. God said, every knee will bow. And every tongue, he put this on his cross above his head in every language, because every tongue is going to say, he is the king.
every eye shall behold him. Behold! Every eye shall behold him whom they have pierced. And people will wail, but no, not God's people. Because he hath revealed unto them himself graciously, elected them, chose them, that they might know him, who he is, why he came, what he did. See his glory. They're not going to wail when he comes. They're going to shout. They're going to smile. They're not going to cry for the rocks and hills to fall on them. They're going to cry, he's here. Our Redeemer. Praise his name. While the world says, away with him, away with him. But God's people say, come quickly, come quickly. Do you? Verse 7, the Jews answer, say, we have a law. By our law, he ought to die. I'll tell you whose law says who ought to die. You see how man just, his words, he's fulfilling God's word. Our law says he ought to die. He makes himself to be the Son of God. Here's God's indictment against man. That man makes himself to be a Son of God. The Son of God came for his sons, and yet people say, don't need him to do that. I'll do it. I'm a Son of God. I'll have you know. That's what God holds people accountable for. No. He's the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God. And if you're a son, it's because he chose you. If you're a son, it's because he adopted you. If you're a son, it'll be by the mercy and grace of God. It had nothing to do with merit. God's choice, God's will, God's mercy, God's love, God's grace through Christ dying for you. That's why any other way is an abomination to God. No, this is the law that God holds man accountable for. Blasphemy against God. Heady, high-minded. We're something, we're somebody. Well, we're sons of God. Christ said, you're of your father the devil. God's people, they say, hail to thee, Son of God. And marvel when he said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Who killed him. And Pilate heard that and he was the more afraid. And oh, how men, when faced with the truth, when faced with the true God and the true Christ, they will be afraid. He went into the judgment hall, verse 9, and he said, whence art thou? He's troubled now. And our Lord gave him no answer. Why? Why didn't he answer? Because Scripture said he's led as a lamb before her shearers is dumb. So open up not his mouth. Because the Scripture says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like unto him. Pilate doesn't deserve an answer from him, and neither does man deserve an answer from God. God doesn't give an account of his matter. Man demands things of God. It's God who does the demanding. God who asks the question. Who art thou that replies against God? And then, he said, don't you know? Verse 10, Pilate said, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest not thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Then he answered. Because the Scripture says in the next verse, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits. So he answered and said, and this is God's answer to every human being who thinks he's something when he's nothing. Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. And that's God's answer to God's people who fear things and men and so forth. This is for the comfort of God's people. There's no power but of God. That the Lord reigns. No matter how evil it may appear, God said, I did it. And it's for your good. I control it. I'm God over all. That's who I am. For our comfort. No power at all except to be of the Lord. And he says, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. That's Caiaphas. That's the high priest. That's religion. That's the greatest sin is against religion. Those who have the truth, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And from henceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out all the more. They said, if you let this man go, you're Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaketh against Caesar. And they went on down to say, we have no king but Caesar. And isn't that what man says today? The Lord reigns. God reigns and rules. Christ says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. When the nations are angry, they don't like that. Do you like it? Here's the question. What do we think about Christ and Him crucified? That's the question that Christ gave to the Pharisee. What think ye of Christ? This is the question of all questions. This is what we need, or rather who we need to know. And if you've ever seen Him doing that for you, nothing and no one else will take up your attention, your admiration, your praise, your worship. Nothing. Nothing. No one. No one's worthy. Worthy. And you'll spend the rest of your days. And Pilate on down, he says he wrote this, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, in every language. And they said, don't say that. Say he said that. Well, I tell you what, he said for Pilate to say that. He told Pilate, Pilate said, what I've written, I've written. No, Pilate, what you wrote, he wrote. You'll write what he writes. Like that hand on the wall. What I've written, I've written. For all to see, and all to hear. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord our righteousness. King of peace. Prophet, priest, king. Give me another hour. I didn't touch the subject. We just got to the hem of his garment. All right, Brother John, you come. What number? 127. 127. 127.